Amen, amen. Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you this morning. It is good to be here with you as we study through the Lord's Prayer. You all having a good morning? Ready for summer? Yeah. No, we're not. It's okay. God is in control and it's going to be good. Today we're going to be talking about the Lord's Prayer and this idea of praying for God's will and God's kingdom to be done in our lives and in our world as it is in heaven. And so as we talk about that, it made me think about sports. Some of you might not really care too much about sports, and that's okay. I think there are a lot of great life lessons we can learn through sports. Some good lessons and some not so good lessons. But I think as we think about that, one of the most remarkable plays that happens in sports happens in baseball. Now hear me out, because I'm going to sound un-American for a minute. I really don't care for baseball. I know Michael Johnstone is not here, so I can say that. I've already established that hockey is the best sport. So some of you would argue that soccer is, but soccer is just hockey on grass without sticks and you can't knock your opponent down. That's why it's not as good. So hockey is prime. Soccer might be second. Baseball is somewhere after bowling, I think. But I'm kidding. But in baseball, I think one of the most remarkable plays happens that players can do. One of the most amazing plays. And it's called the sacrificial bunt. It's when a player decides, the coach tells him, I don't want you to swing at the ball and try and hit it out of the park. I just want you to put the bat out there and let it hit the bat and drop to the ground. I want you to give up your talent for the sake of the team and doing something different, which is pretty hard to do. You're asking a professional athlete to be humble, and I think that's really hard for a lot of them. But it's this amazing play, and it doesn't always work, but it's a play that's designed to say, give up your chance for a hit, if you will, so that other people can move around the base. And that's why I think it's so amazing. So there's a picture I want to put up here of a player back in the early 1900s. His name is Eddie Collins. Eddie Collins had an amazing career. Most of you probably don't even know who this is or heard of the name. Of all the players that have played Major League Baseball, Eddie Collins is eighth all-time for stolen bases. That means when he gets on base, he's a menace to go ahead and steal a base and you can't get him out. And he can move himself around the bases and get himself in scoring position. Eighth best ever to play the game in stolen bases. But that is not his best record. Eddie Collins' best record is he has the most sacrificial bunts of any player. 512 times he bunted the ball instead of swinging at it. Now you think, Eddie Collins, like, this is a guy who has he's eighth all-time in stealing bases. If there's anybody you want to get on base, it's this guy because he's fast and he can move around and get in scoring position. He's a guy that you want to get there. But at least 512 times, he gave up hitting the ball to bunt the ball, which is amazing to do. And in that number of 512, the next person, second place all-time, has 345. So, and 512 is only the number of times that he was successful at doing this, meaning there are times that he wasn't successful. But it's amazing for someone, a player of that caliber and ability to do things, to give up swinging at the ball because the coach said, hey, I want you to do something different this time. That takes a lot of humility and takes a lot of swallowing pride. Today we're talking, continuing in the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we talked about the amazingness, the breathtaking awe, that this God who is uncontainable and this God who is absolutely pure invites us into his presence. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are adopted as sons and daughters into his family. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. And so that is your king, it is our Father, family in heaven, hallowed be your name. And the very next prayer Jesus leads us into is your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives and in our world, just as it is in heaven. But for God's will to be done in our lives, it's going to take some shifting in our hearts and in our minds. Because we're saying, God, I want you to do what you want to do, not what I want to see happen. And it's learning to trust God in all things, even when circumstances seem incomprehensible, even when they seem chaotic, even when everything seems out of control, we must seek his will and not our will. We must seek his answers and not our own hasty actions. And so as we're talking about this today, I want to give you kind of the bottom line of what I think we're going to be talking about, where God was just leading me, is this. If we want to experience the delight of God's ways, we need to get out of the way. Right? If we want to experience the delight of God's ways, we need to get out of the way. And as we discuss God's will in our lives, I want to talk about four necessary mindsets that we need to have. What is that going to take for us to seek God's will in our life? Just like Eddie Collins was willing to lay down swinging at the ball and put a bunt on the ball to forward people around the base, are we willing to put aside our desires to see God's will done in our life? Are we willing to give up what we don't want to accomplish for what He wants to accomplish? It might be hard and it's going to take a lot of work, but the results we'll see from that are going to be amazing. Amen? So this morning we are going to read from Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. If you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read this morning. This is a story about the Apostle Paul and his team as they are on a missionary journey, and this is God's word for this morning. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 6. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Let's pray. God, it is a difficult thing to pray for your will to be done. I pray that you help us see the delight in following you and having your ways be done in our lives and in the world. Lord, speak to us this morning. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Grow us where we need to grow. Heal us where we need to be healed. But in all things, may we delight in loving you and following you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I have a seat, church? I love the story of what's going on in this passage. It's kind of amazing because we see Paul and his team are out on a missionary journey. And this is Paul's, we call his third missionary journey. So I put a map up so you can kind of see that it's really blurry for me, so it might not make sense. But if you can make four quadrants, draw a line down the middle vertically and horizontally, that whole upper right quadrant would be what's called Asia Minor. And so that's where Paul and his team wanted to go, and God said no. And so then they went along, and Bithynia is like right at 12 o'clock at the top, and that's where they wanted to go. And God said no. And so they went on to Troas, which is going east, or going west on that. But it's interesting to think about this, and I would love to get into why God would say no and what was behind all that. And the Bible doesn't necessarily give the answer for that, and that's not necessarily what we're talking about today. If we got some time, we'll get some insights. But I believe within the story, we see Paul willing to follow God's kingdom and God's will, not his own. And there's four mindsets, four characteristics that Paul has that I think if we want to see God's kingdom and will done in our lives, that we should follow as well. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Characteristic number one is this: listening. Notice what takes place in the story. They were forbidden by the Spirit to speak a word in Asia. Then the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go to Bithynia. And then finally, Paul had a vision of where to go. I don't know what it looked like that they were forbidden to go. I don't know what it looked like that the Spirit of Jesus told them not to go to Bithynia. We don't get any of those details. We just know, what we know is this: communication was happening. Paul wanted to go somewhere and he was told not to do that. And finally, he was given a vision of where to go and what to do. He was paying attention and he was listening to what God was communicating. And this might come as one of the biggest duh statements in life, but it needs to be said. If you want to pray for God's kingdom and will to be done in your life, you better be listening to what he teaches and the directions he gives so you know where to go and what to do. If you want to see God's kingdom and will be done in your life, you better be listening to what he's saying. Otherwise, how do you know what he wants and what his will is? And we easily can skip this step in our lives. If we're not actively seeking God's direction, if we're not actively listening to his voice, how do we know where he wants to lead us? We can't recognize him. We don't understand what he's trying to do. And when we do that, it's easy to get distracted, and it's easy to lose our way of following after God. There's a phrase Jesus uses 15 times in the Gospels as he teaches the people, and it's this: he who has ears, let him hear. If we want God's will and God's kingdom to be done in our lives, we've got to listen. There are a lot of memes that make fun of communication in marriage, specifically how terrible husbands are at communication in marriage. Not just speaking, but sometimes we're not very good at listening to what our wives might be trying to tell us. And I think this is fair too. Wives sometimes might not listen as well. But here's some pictures of some of the ones I found that I think are hilarious of what the world is saying about marriage communication. Number one, my wife just stopped and said, "You weren't even listening, were you?" And I thought, that's a weird way to start the conversation. Picture number two, my husband calls it nagging, but I call it listen to what I said the first time. I like this one a lot. Number three, I didn't hear you, so I'll just laugh and hope it wasn't a question. And we do that. And number four is great. My wife shares something incredibly important and informative. And I say, I think I got it, but just in case, tell me the whole thing again. I wasn't listening the first time. And we make fun of this because communication in marriage is key, right? If we're being honest, there's probably a lot of times in our marriages that we give uh-huhs and okay answers, but we have no idea what we just agreed to, right, husbands? Sometimes, like, your honey-do list just got longer because you just agreed, but you weren't listening. How well are you listening to God? How well are you paying attention to Him, and how much attention are you giving Him? It's great that you're here this morning. It's great that you're listening to the sermon. It's great if you're listening to it online later throughout the week. It's great if you listen to other pastors and their sermons. There are some pastors that have some great insights and applications for the Bible. But how often are you just sitting in God's Word and letting Him teach you through that? Because that is the key way to listen to God. It's great being up here and being able to share with you from God's Word. But this cannot be your primary source of listening. Your primary source of listening has to be diving into His Word and learning. If we're going to have His kingdom come and His will be done, I've got to listen to what He says. And He tells me exactly what He says through His Word. And are we paying attention to Him that way? The psalmist in 119 writes this, and we know this verse well. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's not that the priest in the synagogue is a light to my feet. It's not that the pastor in the pulpit is a light to my feet, although we should be and most are. But God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just as God led Paul and his team on this trip, I pray that you would commit yourself to hearing God's voice through God's word to see God's will done in your life. Are we listening to what God is trying to do? God's kingdom come and God's will be done starts with listening. This next thing we see in this story about Paul and his team is obedience. And I think there's something really amazing about what happens with this missionary team. Twice they were denied by God to go somewhere. But we don't ever read of them anywhere saying, why? Why not, God? Why can't I go there? This is part of my plans. They're just told no, and they changed their plans. And that astounds me. Because if you're like me, I don't like changing plans. I can change plans, but I need to know why. Why are we changing plans? If you can tell me why, I'm good. But deep down at the end of the day for me, if I can confess this to you, and I've confessed it before, I am a Pharisee at heart. I love law, and I love rules, and I love order. It's the best thing in the world. Some of you totally disagree with me, and that's all right. And that's where I need to change, because I am a rule follower. I am, this is what's set up and this is what we do. And when someone comes and changes the plans, it's like, I think you need to find another group. Because, no, this is what we're doing. If we want to see God's kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's going to take not only listening, God bless you, it's going to take obedience on our part as well. That's why Jesus calls us to follow Him and not lead Him. Amen? James, the half-brother of Jesus, made a great statement about the need for obedience in James chapter 1. He says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Listening is good, but when listening isn't followed up with obedience, what good is listening? My sister, I told you about her last week, my sister, who's not my sister but is my sister, years ago when her daughter was young, she was teaching her about the danger of strangers. and what to do to avoid strangers, because there are bad people out there that want to take you away from mommy, and we can't have that. And so she spent some time, like a good 15 or 20 minutes, teaching her and telling her what to do if circumstances happen or something arises. And so she explained for several minutes, if a stranger comes up and offers you candy, you tell them no, unless it's Halloween, and then it's okay, because we're okay with that. But if someone says, hey, do you want some candy? Do you want to come to my van and get some candy? You say no. And she shook her head, and yeah. And if someone comes up to you and tells you that they lost their dog and they need help finding it, or that they've got this really cute puppy in their van and do you want to see it and pet it, you've got to tell them no. You don't do it, because those people could be bad people and they might want to take you away from mommy. And her dog's like, okay. And so she said, good, so you got it. Uh-huh. And so she says, so if someone comes up to you and they have a dog leash in their hand and they say, hey, can you help me? My dog got off its leash and ran away and I can't find it. Can you help me find it? What do you do? I go help him find the dog. And she's just like, this is going to take a little bit more work than I thought. She heard, but she didn't really listen. Listening is good. Listening to God is great. But it gets even better when we follow up listening with obedience. Amen? And that's what God asks of us. And so many times we can do that, but so many times we do the opposite. We heard about the dangers of sin. We know about the dangers of sin. We know that we should avoid sin at all cost. But there are days that we run to sin like it's a pool on a scorching hot day. We've listened, but we're just having a hard time obeying. God, your kingdom come and your will be done starts with listening to what God is saying and listening to his directions and then following that up with obedience. Paul and his team listened to what God said and they were obedient to it. And I just want to touch on this. It's not necessarily part of the passage, but I think it's an important point about obedience. Obedience is not a chore and it's not a task, and it shouldn't be seen as something like, I have to do this. Obedience to God should be a joy for us. It should be something that we love to do. And it takes time to get there, but I want you to see in Philippians chapter 2, Paul is writing to this church, and he says this, that Jesus was obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was obedient to death. But the author of Hebrews gives us a little more insight in Hebrews chapter 12, because he says this, that for Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, Jesus was obedient to death on the cross, but it wasn't out of obligation to God, and I have to do his plan. It was out of the joy set before him. And I pray, church, as we talk about obedience, that it's not this obligation, but it's a duty or a delight rather than a duty. It's a joy rather than a burden. That's what God wants to see from us. I love what Vodi Bakum says. He's a modern pastor, and he made this quote. It says, as followers of Christ, our greatest delight will always be found in our obedience to his word. Our greatest delight, think about that, our greatest delight will always be found in obedience to his word, hearing his word and being obedient to it. So we've got listening. Paul listened to what God said, and when he said no, he was obedient. He didn't keep going, try to go into those places when God said no. And to do that takes characteristic number three, humility. Right? The hits just keep on coming. Woo-hoo, obedience. Yeah, I love obedience because I'm a Pharisee. But humility, how do I feel about humility? How do you feel when your carefully laid out plans get changed by somebody else? No, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it this way. But I did all the research, and this is the perfect plan. How do we feel when God changes our perfect plan? Paul and his team were turned away twice. We want to go to Asia. No. Okay, then let's go to Bithynia. No. You don't see them hold court with God. Why not, God? Why do you want to stop us from going to tell people about Jesus? What's wrong with that? Did Paul have a bad intention in his heart? His intention was good. He wanted to go tell people about Jesus. Does God not want people in Asia or Bithynia to hear about Jesus? No, that's not the case. It's just that God had a different purpose for Paul and his team. That's not where I'm sending you. Somebody else will go there. I'm sending you somewhere different. And so Paul listened and he obeyed and he was humble to God. Leadership is hard sometimes. I've never wanted to be a leader. Not that I want to be a follower. I like being a supporter. I'm perfectly fine with others taking the lead. I like to try and encourage other people and build them up and take the lead. I feel like leading is outside of my wheelhouse. So it's funny that God said, hey, I want you to be a senior pastor. And I wanted to be like, but why, God? Senior pastor is my Asia or my Bithynia. God said, no. And one of the difficult areas in being a leader, and it's not just being a pastor, it's being a leader of anything, is the comments and the criticisms you get from people. Oh, you shouldn't have done it this way. It would have been much more effective if you did it this way. I would have done it like that. We should have done this. It would have been better if you would have tried this instead of doing that. And it's taken a while to learn that I need to be listening to what people are saying. Leaders need to be listening to what people are saying. And is God trying to communicate something to me or not? Because there are times that maybe we have to change what we thought was the right idea because God is saying something else. Are there times that we have to say, no, I hear you, and that could be a good idea, but this is where God wants to take us, and it's hard to do that. And I'm not criticizing people who give advice. I'm not telling you not to give comments and advice. I welcome it, and it's taken me a while to get there, but to be a leader that it wants to listen to people and learn and try to decipher what God is doing, you need to daily take your dose of humility pills. Because it's not being a senior pastor of the church. It is not about my way. Amen? It's not what I want to accomplish here. I am not the man in charge here. I might be one of the top leaders here, but collectively as a team, we seek to follow God because this is his church and not my church. Amen? And so to be a leader, I have to learn to swallow my pride. God, what are you trying to do and how are you trying to lead? When you read through the Gospels and you read through the life of Jesus, you will see him teach time and time again about humility, and you will see him model humility time and time again. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He didn't try and accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. He did what the Father wanted him to do over and over. And I think that made such an impact on his followers that even Peter later on, as he's writing to the churches, he writes this in 1 Peter 5. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Clothe yourselves with humility. Humble yourselves so that God can lift you up. Cast your cares on him because he loves for you. And so what is it in your life? What is it in my life or in our hearts or in our minds that keep us from seeking God's kingdom and God's will in our lives? What is it that keeps us from going all in on that? Is it fear? Is it that we want to maintain control or comfort? Is it pride? Are there some sins that we don't want to get rid of? There can be any number of things that keep us from fully surrendering to God, from seeing his kingdom come and his will done in our lives. And I encourage you to invite God to that place. God, I struggle with these things. Let him come to the crossroads of your challenges and your struggles and your faith and trust in him. And let him heal you and lead you through that. But if we want God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done, we've got to be listening to him, we've got to be obedient to him, and we've got to have humility and trust in him. Fourth thing in this passage, well, not necessarily in this passage, but this is kind of a bonus one for you, is perseverance. God, your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. And it's not necessarily in this passage of Paul in 6 through 10. It is because they kept moving on their mission trip. They didn't give up. But praying for God's kingdom and God's will is not a one and done situation. Well, I've prayed it once, and so I'm good to go. Seeking God's will in our life is a daily thing that we need to do over and over and over again. Daily, moment by moment, we have to strive to what God wants and seek what that is more than just ourselves. Because God's ways are superior to our ways. Where he wants to lead us is better than what we think is the right destination for us. In Philippians, the Apostle Paul talks about chasing after God and the things of God. And in chapter 3, he writes this, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." I want you to know how amazing Paul was. Paul wrote half of the books in the New Testament. Paul did four different missionary journeys. He walked thousands of miles to tell people about Jesus. He would go into cities and they would hate him so much they would throw him in a pit and throw stones on him and leave him for dead. And he would crawl out of that pit and the next day go back into that city to tell people about Jesus. I hope that doesn't happen for Josiah, Rebecca, and Jerry. We're praying for better results on his mission trip. But he says this, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on. I strain forward. I keep reaching. I keep seeking after God. I keep setting aside my pride and my desires so that I can see His kingdom come and His will be done in my life. Every single moment, every single day. God's kingdom come and God's will be done is a perseverance thing. We don't get it after the first try. We continually have to seek after that. And I think one of the great pictures of that is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus wasn't sure about the cross. He knew he had to go there, but he knew what lied ahead. Pain, suffering, abandonment, and death. And so he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed again. Not my will, God, but your will. He persevered in seeing God's kingdom come and God's will be done. If we want to see God's will be done in our lives, we have to choose it every day. It's not an 80-20 thing in favor of God. It's not even a 90-10 thing in favor of God. It's a 100% thing in favor of God. God, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and in our world. Are you willing to set aside your desires for the greater good of what God has for you? If we want to delight in God's ways, we have to get out of the way. Amen? And I think like Eddie Collins, it doesn't matter what kind of talent we bring into the batter's box. It doesn't matter what kind of talent we bring once we get on the base. When God calls for a call that doesn't make sense, we follow that. We listen, we obey, we take humility, and we persevere in it because God's ways are better than our ways. And I love what King David wrote as he was bringing, they lost the Ark of the Covenant and they were bringing it back to Jerusalem. And on the way, they set up a tent and brought it in. And he sang this song and made this prayer. But he says this in that prayer, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually. Persevere in chasing after the things of God. If we want to delight in God's ways, we have to get out of the way. And we get out of the way by listening, by being obedient to what he says, by being humble and persevering in chasing after him. Last thing, which is a closing thought, which I don't have time for, so I'm just going to skip it, but it's really cool. You can come up and ask me later. Band, you can come on up. Here's my final challenge for you this week, church. I go back to what I said before. What is it in your life or in your heart or in your mind that is keeping you from fully chasing after God 100%? What is it that says, God, for most things I want to seek your kingdom, but not in all things? And is it pride? Is it fear? Is it wanting to maintain control or comfort? Is it sin? This week I pray, church, that you would daily pray to God and ask him to reveal those things to you. Allow him to lead you through the healing process of that so that with full joy and confidence we can pray together, God, your kingdom come and your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. Amen. I'm going to close with a prayer. Then we're going to celebrate taking communion together and we'll have time to worship and we'll have some of our elders here to pray with you. But let's pray together first, church. God, I thank you that your ways are higher than our ways. They're better than our ways. And even when it doesn't make sense, and even when we don't understand, that's especially the time that we need to seek you. And so, God, help us, like Paul and his missionary team, to listen to you through your word, to be obedient to what it is you lead us in, to be humble and not worry about getting our way done, but know that your ways are better, and to persevere in it day after day. Lord, as we do that, may we be a light to those around us as well. Lord, we thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.